I want to start off by asking a question. By a show of hands, how many of you are getting younger? I don't see the first hand coming up. Brother Jacko raised his hand, but the truth of the matter is none of us are getting any younger. I'll celebrate a birthday next week. I'm getting old. I'll be 41 next Saturday. Y'all imagine that? 41. 41 years old. That's getting old. My parents are sitting in the back, and them, Miss Mary and I were speaking before church and talking about having grandchildren graduate. And Miss Mary and I said, we're getting older. My mom said, no, they're getting older. We're staying the same. So, but the truth of the matter is none of us are getting any younger. We're constantly getting older. We're getting older. As the days go by, we're constantly aging. We have all tried to slow down the aging process. There are products in stores that will fade away wrinkles. We see the advertisements on TV. There are products to wash away the gray. There are even pills that provide nutrients to keep our joints working properly, to keep the joints lubricated and all, and keep them where arthritis won't set in. In addition to using creams and pills, some of us go to the gym. Some of us walk around our neighborhood. Some of us do exercise videos inside our home. About every year there'll be a new fad coming out as far as, exercise videos. There's P90X, there's P90X2, P90X3. I've done all those. There's kickboxing. There's, how many of you remembered Dancing to the Oldies, Richard Simmons? I remember seeing that when I was younger back in the 80s, seeing that on TV. But no, there's several things out there that we try to do to prevent the aging process. Some of us even block out certain foods from our diet. We stay on the perimeter of a grocery store. We stay away from processed foods. We stay away from products with gluten. We stay away from sugar. There's all kinds of things we do to try to be healthy, but also to slow the aging process. There's different pills and supplements we can take. No matter what we do, aging is definitely coming to all of us. However, aging doesn't have to slow us up from working for God, though. Does not have to slow you up for working for God. And that's what tonight's message is about, is are you allowing God to use you throughout your life? Are you allowing God to use you throughout your life? None of us know how much longer we have to live here on earth. I mentioned I'll be 41 next week. I might have 10 years left. I might have 30 years left. I might have 40 years left. I might have 2 weeks left. We don't know. Only God knows how much longer we have left. But while we have breath, we should desire to be useful and fruitful for God. Be useful and fruitful for God. You may be asking yourself, that sounds great and all, but how can I live a long and fruitful life? How can I allow God to use me throughout my life? Tonight's passage will give us some simple principles to make that a possibility. So the scripture I'm going to use tonight for the bulk of my message is going to be Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. Let's read those. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In these verses, we have some simple instructions laid out on how we can equip ourselves for God to use us throughout our lives. There's some simple principles here. No matter how many days we have left, the Lord does want to use us. He wants to use everybody sitting here in the congregation. God has a desire to use all of us throughout our lives. The first part of verse 12 says, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. What does that mean? What does it mean to flourish like a palm tree? That's an interesting question. What does a palm tree do? How does a palm tree flourish? Well, first let's look at the word flourish. What does it mean to flourish? Flourish in this verse is being used as a verb meaning to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment. Are you in an environment where you're flourishing? Are you growing in your walk with God? Are you growing in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The question then comes, who or what is to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way? The righteous man is to grow and to develop. The righteous man brings up another question. What does it mean to be a righteous person? You know, I've grown up in church. I've studied. I teach Sunday school. But these are some questions as you start digging into Scripture, preparing, whether it's a Sunday school lesson, speaking to the youth, or speaking to the full congregation, you start questioning these things. So what does it mean to be a righteous person? Well, a righteous man is one who is set apart, a man and woman who is set apart. Are you set apart for God's work, for God's work within God's kingdom? Are you set apart from this world, or have you conformed to this world? It's a good question that every Christian should ask themselves. Have you conformed to the world, or have you set yourself apart from the world? A righteous person is obedient to God's will upon their life. Are you obedient to God's will upon your life? Do you know what God's will upon your life is? Are you seeking God's will upon your life? God's will upon your life changes as you mature. It changes as you grow. Are you constantly seeking for what God would have you do for his kingdom? When he directs your path, are you being obedient? When you do decide what God's will is, are you being obedient to what that will is? Or are you letting the flesh step in? A righteous person is one who avoids sin. That's a difficult one because we sin every day. Our thoughts, our anger, our actions, the way we feel about something. But we need to not put ourselves in situations where we're tempted. Do you allow sin to reside in your life? Do you have a pet sin? Does a particular sin have a stronghold in your life? Turn it over to God. He will remove that for you. We're taking a look at that in Sunday school. Repent and being renewed. If you have a sinful stronghold in your life, repent of it, and God will renew you. You must avoid situations that tempt you to sin. If you're tempted by something, don't put yourself in that environment. Remove yourself from where that temptation can get a hold of you. A righteous person has trust and puts their faith in God. Do you put your trust and faith in God? As I've gotten older, as I've gotten mature, it's getting easier and easier. But still, at times, John Johnson wants to do what John Johnson wants to do and wants to settle the problem the way that John Johnson wants to settle it. Many a time I've gone to God and said, hey, God, here's my plan. I've got it laid out. Here's point one, two, three, and four. All right, now you bless it. You make it happen. Sometimes he lets part of it take place. Sometimes he allows me to fall flat on my face and have to come back to him, and he'll handle it the way it needs to be handled. So where have you placed your trust? Have you placed your trust in yourself, or have you placed your trust in God? Is your trust placed in your own abilities? We all have natural talents. We all have natural skills. Some of us are good speakers. Some of us are charismatic in our speaking. Some of us are good with math. Some of us are good with our hands. Some of us are good in healthcare. We all have a special gift that God's given us aside from your spiritual gifts. We all have natural talents. Do you trust those abilities, those natural gifts that God's given you to get you through life? You need to use those as an accessory to God's will in your life. Use them as part to help reinforce what God has in store for you. So to recap where we've gone so far, a righteous person is one who is godly men and godly women set apart for God. Secondly, men and women who hear him and obey him. Hear him and obey him. Men and women who hate sin. Men and women of great faith. So getting back to verse 12, I've sidetracked here, but getting back to verse 12, we have a righteous person who's going to flourish like a palm tree. You may be thinking, a palm tree? Really? How many of you have seen the 2,000 palm trees on I-75 in Florida as you're going into Florida? I don't know how much tax of y'all's tax money was spent on those trees, but my goodness, there's a bunch of palm trees up and down I-75 once you cross into Florida before you even make it to the Welcome Center. But those palm trees, that's what we think about with palm trees. We see them on the beach. They're tall. They're thin. They grow real tall. They got probably five or six branches at the top, and that's it. That's a palm tree. However, the palm tree mentioned here are not the ones that we see on I-75 as you enter into Florida for the first 200 yards. The palm trees in this passage are date palms. Now, what's a date palm? A date palm was very beneficial to the people around Jerusalem and all during that time. A date tree would not only produce fruit, but the leaves would be used for fences and for roofs. So compare yourself to a date palm. What's the date palm here signifying? Well, it was useful for the inhabitants around it. It provided some shade, provided food. Its leaves and all were used to build houses, to build fences, to provide, you know, protection from the elements. So palm trees use, it's useful to those around you. The second part of verse 12 says, he will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Well, let's take a look at the cedars in Lebanon. We're all familiar with cedar trees around here. But let's take a look at the cedar trees in Lebanon. They're not the South Georgia cedar trees that we're familiar with, the bushes that we're familiar with. The cedars in Lebanon were massive. It was not uncommon for them to reach heights of 120 feet and above. 120 feet and above. Do you need to realize outside of a water tower, there's not a structure in Valdosta, Georgia that's 120 feet tall? There's some water towers that tall. The tallest building, I think, is the Ashley House, and it's five stories. So imagine twice the height of the Ashley House downtown. Would have a trunk diameter of 8 feet. Imagine the light pole the Langdales would love to make out of one of those. It'd be massive. I'm sure it'd be over the weight limit on the truck as they hauled it around. But with a trunk diameter of 8 feet, these trees were simply massive. They were huge, massive trees. They stood as a symbol of great strength. To be like a cedar of Lebanon, it meant you were strong. You were upright. You were unmoved by events and circumstances around you. A little breeze did not sway it one way or the other. It stood firm. It was like an anchor in the harbor. It stood firm. During these times, you would be firm in your relationship with God. Now, here's something I thought about and I researched while I was preparing this message. Did you know, I never really thought about it, and once I mentioned it, you say, yeah, that's right. Both of these trees are evergreens. A palm tree, I never thought about being an evergreen, but it is. What's the characteristics of evergreens? They're consistent. They grow all year long. They don't have seasons that they're not being fruitful. They don't have seasons where they're not being productive. So, to flourish like a palm tree and like a tree of Lebanon, you're consistent. You don't have a season where you take a break. And that contributes to what we're taking a look at here. So a righteous man would flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar of Lebanon. In verse 13, we see that this same person we're talking of here, that's like a date palm and like a cedar, is planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. This verse here, if you ever want to get confused, look up different Bible commentaries on Psalms 92, verse 13. Commentators are all over the place. Fortunately, I found a message that Charles Spurgeon did on. I was able to get some. He helped to simplify it for me. I always go to Adrian Rogers or Vernon McGee to simplify things for me. In this situation, Charles Spurgeon simplified this one for me. So the question is, are you planted in the house of the Lord? Think about the term to be planted. What's it mean to be planted? Can you plant yourself? God has to plant you. God has to plant you in his house. That's something that's done for you. God has planted each one of you that have a relationship with him. He has planted you in his house through his son, Jesus Christ, through salvation. So this is something that was done for us. God plants us where he wants us. God moves us around when he wants us to be moved around. That could be from one church congregation to another church congregation. That could be from working in the children's department to working with the senior adults. From working with the senior adults to going working with the middle age. God will move us around as he sees fit. So God will plant us where he wants. Let's turn over to Matthew 15:13. Matthew 15:13 reads us this. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. What's that verse telling us? I asked the question earlier, can we plant ourselves? Absolutely not. But we can think we planted ourselves somewhere. What's going to happen if we think we planted ourselves somewhere? God will uproot us. He'll move us where he wants us to be. We cannot plant ourselves. If we could, we would be rooted up. Something else to think about. Being planted means that you have been growing elsewhere. Do we plant? Do we go to the local garden center and purchase a dead plant to go home and plant? Now, I know some of you out here are pretty good, you know, got pretty green thumbs. Y'all might get something on the clearance rack that's about half dead and take it home and nourish it. But if it's completely dead, it's not going to do you any good to take it home and plant it. So the question is, or the point of matter is, means to be planted means you're growing somewhere else. So where God has you working right now, don't get comfortable there. God will move you. He may move you, he may not. But more than likely, God's going to move you as you continue to mature and as you continue to grow in Christ. He will uproot you and he will move you. But it's going to be him doing it. How about this? Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When that plant is transplanted and moved, it's become something new. It's going to flourish in a different environment. We're a new creation. The old man has passed away. When God plants us, the old man has passed away. Transplanting is often dramatic on the plant, isn't it? Has God ever uprooted you, moved you somewhere, and it was dramatic on you? But with a little bit of nurture, a little bit of care, you flourish where you're at. Now, I've always heard people say about new construction, they plant landscaping. The first year, the plants weep. The second year, they creep. That third year, they leap. It's like us in our Christian walk. When God first puts us in a new situation, we might struggle a little bit. But as we get our feet underneath us, as we get a couple wins under our belt, we start to flourish. God starts to use us in a mighty way. So be patient. Keep this in mind. Planting not only means something has been done for us and that a change has taken place, but also that there is life in us. And I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon here. God does not intend to have dead stumps standing in his courts. Think about that. God does not intend to have dead stumps standing in his courts. Don't be a dead stump in the church house. You'll see in a minute, I'll go over a list of things that you can do as you continue to age to not be a dead stump, to be a plant, to be a palm tree, to be a cedar that flourishes. Verse 14 talks about producing fruit in your old age. You may wonder, what does it mean to produce fruit in your old age? It means that even though you may get a little older, even though your joints may hurt you, even though you can't do the things you once were able to do, devoted believers can still produce spiritual fruit. I can't share in here because I don't know how to share in here of the impact several of the older men in this congregation has had on my life. The impact of men, older men throughout my life have had on me. My father, he's had a tremendous impact on my life. That you other men have stepped in and assisted him in teaching me things. I mentioned earlier I got a birthday coming up. I don't feel as old as I'm fixing to be, which is not old. It's not old at all. But it's just amazing the things that I don't know, but yet I'm continually learning, continually growing in Christ, continually seeing people serve the Lord, and I'm just maturing. I'm just growing. I make mistakes. I've made mistakes recently. I'm in a position of leadership here at this church, and there's times I don't always say the right things. I don't always respond in the right way. But my intentions are always good. Please keep that in mind. But what does it mean? Even though you may get a little older, your joints may hurt, you can still produce spiritual fruit. So verse 14 also talks about always being green and full of sap. That goes back to the evergreen comment about the tree being evergreen. Don't adjust to the seasons. Yes, you can go through seasons of life, but you can continually be working for Christ throughout every season. It refers to abounding with green leaves and precious fruit. In other words, abound in grace and be fruitful in every good work. Instead of feeling like your best days are behind you and that you're a little use to God, remember that a righteous person can and will produce fruit throughout their life. A righteous person can and will continue to produce fruit throughout their life. There are some men and women in this congregation that I look at them and see what they do for the Lord. It's hard to believe they're 80 plus. They're still going strong. They're still serving where God has planted them at. So in preparation for this message, I came across a top 10 list. I enjoy top 10 lists. I always have. This top 10 list is from Dr. Charles Stanley. I thought it was very applicable to this passage. And so I wanted to share this top 10 list with you. I have the notes for Elon and the soundboard back there to put on the board. But the first item on the list is to keep learning. Keep learning. The older I get, the more I realize I don't know. So keep learning. The most important pursuits in life are learning the Word of God and memorizing Scripture. We think that Bible drill is just for kids. It's not. It's for us as adults as well. We need to constantly be studying and memorizing Scripture. I remember memorizing lots of Scripture. I know a lot of Scripture. I can't tell you the address to it, but I can tell you I can recite the verse. I couldn't tell you where it's at. You know, the exact, book and verse and all. But keep learning. When we cease to learn, we stop growing, because a lazy brain is an aging brain. A lazy brain is an aging brain. Secondly, keep loving. The first and foremost commandment found in Deuteronomy 6:5 is to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and might. God created us to not only love Him, but to love others as well, even with all our faults, even with all our shortcomings. Love one another. Thirdly, it's one I enjoy. Keep laughing. Keep laughing. Of all the people in the world, Christians should be the happiest, because we have the joy of the Lord within us and the greatest reasons to be grateful. If you don't have salvation, you really don't have anything to be grateful for. If you have salvation, you have everything to be grateful for. So keep laughing. Fourthly, we must keep leaving. Brother John, what do you mean by keep leaving? Well, keep leaving means we must leave yesterday's cares and problems behind us, instead of dragging them with us into the next day. Principles and precepts and lessons learned, yes, carry those lessons learned with you, but don't carry the baggage with you throughout life. God's taking care of it. God has taken care of it. I heard preachers say, once we repent of something, God throws it into the sea and puts a no fishing sign behind it. Don't let the devil fish your troubles and all back up. So leave it behind. This includes being anxious about the future. How many of you have ever been anxious about what the future holds? I sure have. I'm guilty of it every week. I got to start a new week tomorrow at work. I don't know what's going to come next week. Had one salesman leave me. Got one salesman going out with a cancer surgery tomorrow. So I'm covering two territories now. So y'all, please be in prayer for me on that. But don't be anxious. Cast those cares and concerns upon Christ as well. Fifthly, keep longing. Keep longing. Though we may not feel adequate, we may not feel like we're equipped for a certain thing, we should never underestimate what the Lord can do through us when we're willing and being obedient. We should long for what the Lord wants to do through us. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, God wants to use you. He just wants you to be obedient to Him. He wants you to allow Him to use you. Number six, keep looking ahead. Look forward to what God would have us do, and pursuing activities we enjoy energizes us to continue being useful and productive. God will put opportunities before you that will fit your personality. He'll put opportunities before you that you will enjoy doing. How many of you ever heard growing up, oh, Christians can't have any fun? We've all heard that. We have lots of fun, and we remember what we did when we did have fun. God gives us opportunities to enjoy ourselves. So continue to pursue activities where God can use you and you can be productive. Here's number 7. This goes back to what I started off with these creams and all. Keep looking your best. There's something about looking and doing our best that stimulates and encourages us to keep going. Look your best. Try to stay fit. Try to do some type of exercise or something. Whatever you can do to make yourself look good. Feel good about yourself. Number 8, keep laboring. In the Christian life, there's no retirement because we can still bear spiritual fruit and make a difference in people's lives until the day we die. Brother Wayne shared this morning about Brother Jerry, who went to be with the Lord yesterday, that he loved working his position in that door right over there. He did. And up until a couple weeks ago, he was working that door. God can use you up until you take your last breath. And even in your last breath, God can use that as encouragement to somebody else on how you may first face eternity. You're positive. Being positive during that time. God can use you up until your last breath. Number 9, keep leaning on the Lord. Keep leaning on the Lord. We can trust God with all our concerns, knowing that He is always present and faithful. I've shared with y'all before in my Sunday school class, and then when I taught the men's class, and I'll teach the young professionals. One of my favorite poetries is Footprints in the Sand. And it's paraphrased, it talks about, at one point there's only one set of footprints, and the person's questioning Christ about, and he says, "That's when I carried you." So keep leaning on the Lord. He's going to carry you through everything. We may not understand the storm that He's gotten us taking us through. There's been storms in my life. I've stood up here and shared my testimony, shared, what me and Rachel have had to deal with through our years of marriage, with health concerns and all. But God carried me through all that. During that time, I couldn't understand it. But now looking back, I understand what God did, what He did for me, what He did for my family, the encouragement that He gave us. We can trust God with all our concerns, knowing that He's always present and faithful. He's the one we rely upon for wisdom, for direction, and for provision. There's no need to fret when we lean on the Lord in prayer. Adrian Rogers said one time one of his messages about worry. Now, I'll be off on the numbers by 5 or 10%, but just say for it, he said 80, 85% of everything we worry about, we can't do a thing about it. So why worry about it? The remaining 15 to 20%, if you can do something about it, do something about it. You won't have to worry about it. So lean on God for His understanding and His provisions upon your life. The last one on this top 10 list is to keep listening. Keep listening. The most important thing we can do is to listen to the Lord. You may ask, John, how do we listen to the Lord? We can't hear His audible voice. You can hear His voice through your prayer life. You can hear His voice through your own personal quiet time, reading God's word. You can hear God's voice through a message that a preacher might be bringing to you. God will speak to you through somebody else's words. So the most important thing we can do is listen. He speaks to us in our hearts through His word and through His spirit. So the question is now, are you following these 10 guidelines in your life? Are they applicable to your life? All 10 of those are applicable to the youngest child in this room, to the oldest adult in here. They're all applicable to our lives. So are you following these guidelines in your life so that you can live a righteous life? Do you want to flourish like a palm tree? Would you like to grow like a cedar in Lebanon? None of us want to be 8 foot wide and 120 feet tall, but do you want to be proportional in your service to the Lord? The truth is that all of us must strive to do these things. God's not going to spoon feed us. God wants us to ask for it. God wants us to work for it. God's going to put some turbulence in our path. But when you get through that storm, when you get to the other side, it's going to be beautiful. You'll see where God carried you and what impact it had on your life. Allow God to use you. But there might be some of you in this room that God can't use. You know why God can't use you? Because you don't have a personal relationship with him. The very first step in being used of God is you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. All you've got to do is admit to God you're a sinner. Admit to God that you need his forgiveness. Repent of your sin. Turn it all over to him and dedicate your life to serving him. It's not going to be an easy road. It's going to be a struggle at times. But God will carry you through it. God will allow you to be his child. And he will plant you in his courts to be used by him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for allowing us to gather here as a people, Lord, to study your word. I want to thank you for the message that you allowed me to share tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for bringing the words to my mouth, Lord, helping me to prepare for this lesson and be able to wade through all the different commentaries and research that I did, Lord, to put a message together for you. I know that this is what I felt like you wanted me to share tonight, Lord. I just want to pray for our messengers at Southern Baptist Convention as they travel to Dallas, Lord. I want to pray for our convention. There's some issues going on, Lord. I just pray that you'll work through those and that you will prevail on the other side, which I know that you will, Lord. I pray for each person here in this congregation, Lord. I pray that you'll use each one of them, allow them to be obedient to you and be used of you in a great and mighty way, Lord. And I just pray that anybody needs to come to Christ, he needs to have a saving relationship with you, Lord. I'll have Brother John be down front, and I just pray that you'll allow them to come down front, and we'll have counselors to meet with them, Lord. And we just ask for your continued guidance upon our lives, Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen.